It's that time again on Wednesday, September 18th for Surratt and Murciano.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good.
You're doing good? I am one of the many people walking around with my iPhone today waiting to see what's going to happen and when. Because as of last night, I don't know if you used your iPhone at all.
I did.
All the updates for the new system started coming through. So the iOS 7 is being released at some point today. We're going to talk to somebody to find out exactly when.
So do I have to walk around clutching my iPhone for something to happen?
You have to update.
I haven't noticed anything different.
Is that because you don't sync? That's one of the questions I have is, like, do you have to actually physically sync it or will it come through the cloud? But people are anxiously waiting for this to happen.
Remember those movies where they'd find, and it was usually an old man from Japan who'd be in the in the weeds somewhere, and they'd get him out, and he'd have been there all through the war and afterwards, and he doesn't know that the war is over yet, and they'd bring him out. I always think when you talk about the clouds and the iOS, what if somebody has been like sealed up in a time capsule or somehow out of on another planet for just a few years, not very long, and then come back into this world now? They wouldn't know what's going on.
Yeah, well.
The terminology, everything has changed so quickly. It used to be you'd have this some sort of great technological invention every 5 or 10 years, whatever, CDs, Betamax, whatever it would be.
And then people would actually have to go to the store, buy it. They still do with the new phones, but so much is new just through the cloud.
People would read the instruction manuals, but now it's like every month there's something new. It's impossible to keep up.
I know. It cracks me up that every time that you go to our grill to grill something and I'll say, okay, can you please grill some chicken? Your head basically explodes because you haven't read the instruction manual part about cooking chicken.
Well, that's because you made me get this new super duper grill. I was very happy with our 15-year-old Weber, and now we've got this space age machine out there, and it throws my game off. So now what I do is I Google like how to grill chicken or something, and I'll watch like a 3-minute video.
I am impressed.
And as I'm out there, I'm looking at the video.
Don't you just put the grill on?
Oh, yeah, no, used to be that way.
What kind of grill is this?
No, you can't.
Used to be that way, Judy. Not anymore.
Wow. But I'm really impressed that you're actually going on Google and seeing a 3-minute video.
Well, you have to.
Is that what you're doing out there?
Yeah, because there's so many controls now. And then is it direct heat, indirect heat? What do you do?
That is confusing.
Do you sear? Do you not sear? So, with the old grill, we didn't have many controls on there. It was basically just on and off. And I felt comfortable. And I learned that 1/4 of the coals weren't firing at all. So I knew what worked and what didn't work on the grill. Now everything's hot, everything works, and it's like playing pool on a brand new table. It may throw your game off a little bit.
You're taking care of it.
There's no idiosyncrasies that I have learned over the years.
But you are, those Google YouTube videos
are pretty good.
Actually working because you have been bringing in the meat perfectly cooked.
Thank you very much. Bob Surratt brings in the meat. I'll tell you something, though. As a father, my ego took a severe hit last night. I didn't even tell you about this, but I was driving our 13-year-old daughter around last night, and I was picking her up from a class last night. And it was really nice out. It got warm last night. So I have the windows rolled down. I'm blasting out the radio. I was listening to the 60s on 6 on Sirius XM. And
was she trying to jump out of the car?
Well, I was just coming to pick her up. So she's standing around with some of her friends, and I come pick her up. And she gets in the car, and she says, "Dad, turn that way down. Turn it down, please. My friends are here." And by the way, the song that was playing was not a very embarrassing song. It was You Were On My Mind. Remember that song? When I woke up this morning, You Were On My Mind? Who's that? We Five or somebody? It wasn't like some bad disco song or something. It was a nice record. And I said, really? Turn it down? Why? And she said, well, I don't want my friends to hear that. And I said, is that so embarrassing to you, this particular music? And she said, yes. Come to that.
You need to start playing, you know, some, I don't know, Katy Perry or something.
Well, I do sometimes, but, you know, last night I wasn't. But she shouldn't be embarrassed by that, should she? I mean, I get the fact that, you know, Dad, don't kiss me unless you're three blocks from the school. I get that. Okay, I get that. You don't want to see Dad doing that.
Well,
heaven forbid.
There's
but
a lot more
now,
than that.
Now she's embarrassed by the music?
Well, she's also embarrassed about, like, being seen with us. She does not
want to
be...
That's the age.
She doesn't want to be seen with
well,
us.
Well, I get, but I
even
get
Even, like,
some
going
of that.
To a movie, I mean, it's got to be...
Of course.
Well, she goes incognito.
I get some of that. You don't want to be seen with your parents when you're a young teenager. But really... You were on my mind. That's so embarrassing to be listening to that record.
Kind of.
Coming up on the multicast today, we will get into this new Apple deal and find out what's going on with that. We'll talk to somebody who knows because he sells this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, the holistic healthcare man will be here. The doctor who, well, he kind of blends Eastern and Western medicine. And we'll get the latest health tips from him today, won't we? Some burning questions we want answered, right?
Yes, because you are on antibiotics right now, and we need to hear from him why you need to do certain things while you're taking an antibiotic.
Anybody should, yeah.
Right.
And you want to know about melatonin helping you sleep.
Yes, I've been doing that in the last two nights, and it's actually worked.
And we should point out that the reason I'm on antibiotics is because... Bill and Wendy are, not neat here, and they have a lot of germs. So when we come in at noon, I just like to build up my immune system.
What are you, Gary Meyer?
Well, what's good to do deal-wise in the travel department? People are starting to think about fall trips, even holiday vacations, Christmas time, because you got to plan early because there's no such thing as cheap travel anymore. Or so it seems, but our man who is the proprietor of the most comprehensive travel website on the internet, Johnny Jett, will join us at about 12:35 today to talk about some good deals out of Chicago to all sorts of places. That and more coming up right here. Serrato Murciano, 12:20. Good to have you with us in the afternoon on WGN. Text us at 24720 and at very popular, facebook.com/Serrato Murciano is open for business.
Getting more popular every day with our followers, and that's where we're going to post this video that I wanted to talk about. And Bob, I was showing you this video this morning, and I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's a scarecrow commercial that has gone viral, and it's not really even a commercial.
What do you mean a scarecrow commercial?
I mean, that's that's what they're calling it, the Chipotle Scarecrow commercial.
That's the name of it, Scarecrow, and it's paid for by
Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not really a commercial that's running on the air. It's a YouTube video that has gone viral, and it's amazing because it looks like it's very, very expensive, but the brand name of Chipotle doesn't appear until the very last seconds of it. And in the last 2 days since it's been up, it's angered so many people, and it's also made a lot of friends. And there's a lot of discussion about whether or not this is effective. But boy, have a lot of people seen it. And the whole purpose of this commercial is to promote a mobile app.
So it's Chipotle paid for it?
They paid for it, and... The ad shows scenes of a somber factory and sad scenes that the scarecrow is seeing and learning about the world and the way that food is produced.
The scarecrow?
Yeah, the scarecrow is the main character.
Oh, I see. It's like a computer animated video.
Right. And he sees chickens that are getting stuck with needles to grow faster. And he sees cows that are stuffed into cages and they're unable to move. And then he leaves the factory, and then he comes across this stretch of land where fresh red peppers are growing. And then that inspires him to cook, and soon, you know, the entire world is gorgeous again. So it's really about organic farming and about not doing it the way that we do it. And it's just gone viral. It's everywhere.
This is the clip that ends with the scarecrow character picking some fresh fruit off a vine and then serving it in a bowl. And then the message is, forget about all this stuff that people are injecting and contaminating, and go fresh.
Yeah.
Something,
let's hear a little bit
like
of it.
That.
This is the music. It's Fiona Apple.
Okay.
Come with me.
So as we hear the music, we see these images, these dark images of food being messed with.
And the message is to emphasize the importance of wholesome foods. And, you know, again, it's depicting the social and environmental implications of industrialized farming.
And that's why Chipotle is behind it, I guess, because it promotes what they like to promote.
Which is wholesome foods.
Yeah, and so this has gone viral?
It's everywhere, yes.
Really?
It's gone viral.
All right, so if people want to take a look at that, can they see it on our Facebook.com/Sarada Marciano page?
Yes, it's being posted as we speak.
You know what else we have to post?
I'd like to know what people think of this, too. I mean, is this...
Well, people can comment on the page.
Yeah, I wonder if people...
It's an expensive video. It really looks cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and the message is
interesting. I thought it was the preview of, you know, the trailer for an upcoming movie. That's how nice it looks.
Yeah, it's great computer animation, and it's quite a message, too. We are in the process of posting this one. Did you hear about this? Dennis Rodman, when he returned from another visit to North Korea earlier this month, he said his attempt at basketball diplomacy should be taken seriously by President Obama. He said, people think it's a gimmick. I would love to make this a gimmick, but it's not about the money. Well, as the report said, in light of his new commercial for pistachios, it's hard to believe what Rodman said. He's got a commercial for pistachios, where he's promoting pistachio nuts, and in the commercial, he's got green hair, of course, and green for pistachios. And he sits next to an actor who's dressed like the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. And Rodman says in the commercial, in the video, the secret to world peace is pistachios. And then the Kim impersonator presses a red button on his chair, and Rodman vaporizes.
I want to see this.
And then the announcer,
how do you see it?
The announcer says, Dennis Rodman does it because he's nuts. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Pistachios. We're going to post that. And in a little while, it'll be on Facebook.com.
Where did you find that?
/Sarada Marciano. It's been reported in the press about this commercial.
Okay.
So... And I didn't see the video yet, but I did see a couple of pictures. And the guy, the actor who looks like Kim Jong-un, I mean, he really looks like him.
I saw the picture in one of the articles.
And the green hair on Rodman, you know, you wouldn't look twice. It's like, yeah, okay, that's Dennis.
Well, had it been a few years ago, well, probably many years ago, when pistachios used to be red, his hair would have had to be red, not green. Remember those days?
Like, you know, what happened?
They were from, I think, if I remember correctly, those red pistachios came from Iran. And then
I think you're right.
We weren't friends with Iran anymore, so we weren't importing them. And who knows why they were dyed red. And it was like a bad food color.
It looked like
a bad one.
It was a conspiracy. They were trying to... make us mad and irritate us because your fingers would be red when you ate those red pistachios. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had, and then everybody went to the...
natural.
Yeah, the natural color, the almond color.
Yeah,
right?
it's with no dye on the shell. And then Rodman's hair is green because when you open up those shells, the pistachio nuts, if they're fresh, they're a very beautiful, limey green color.
You know, they sell them now shelled. You can buy them shelled. It's usually more expensive. You can buy pistachios shelled. And I would advise not to buy those because you can eat like 20 pounds in about 5 minutes.
You can eat 20 pounds of them. And also, I don't think they're as fresh as the ones that you shell yourself.
Oh, because they're not in the shell. Because the ones in the shell are protected by the shell till you eat them.
Right. Yeah. So they're when they're shelled, they don't have the shell? Or when they're shelled, they do? That's so confusing.
If they're shelled, there is no shell.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Got it?
I got it.
All right. Good. A little traveling music, please. Because it's never too soon to think about getting away, is it?
Never too soon to think about vacations.
Got
to
plan earlier than ever these days because prices are so sky high.
And the question is every year, like if you're planning to travel during the holidays, for example, should you buy your ticket now or should you gamble and hope that the prices are going to get better as it gets closer to the holidays, which is what my family is doing. And every day I talk to them and I say, I don't think it's going to get any better.
Well, we got the man with the answers and the deals. He's the proprietor of the most comprehensive travel website. And as you know, I've surfed the entire internet. I've been on every site. And JohnnyJet.com beats them all. It's John Descalia. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? Hello, this is the Earth calling Johnny. Are you there?
Johnny? Johnny Jet.
All right, we'll talk to him in a second. Let's get him fired up on the line. Where are you, by the way, in the world? Where in the world is Johnny Jet?
I'm in Toronto.
This is where you live now, right?
No, I live in Los Angeles.
But wait, your wife is from
Toronto.
My wife
lives here.
Okay, wait. You know, we're going to get you on one of our love and marriage segments to find out if your long-distance relationship really works.
You know, it's called Living Apart Together. I just saw it's a new trend called LAT.
Oh,
L-A-T, Living Apart Together. How many miles a year do you log, Johnny?
Well, around 175, I think.
1,000, yes. Well, that's enough. And, well, you're not too far from Chicago, so you can feel a little fall in the air. And
people
are starting to think about warm getaways. And, well, first of all, let's talk about holiday travel, because anybody who has started, and at this point, actually, it's almost late, looking for vacations around Christmas time, New Year's, knows prices are high. What are you seeing out there?
Well, if you're looking for Thanksgiving and Christmas and you have to travel, like say for Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before, you're not going to find a good deal. So you might as well book it now, you know. But, you know, if you want the good deals, you don't want to travel when everyone else is traveling. So I always recommend, you know, for Thanksgiving, travel on Thanksgiving Day and return on that Saturday or even the next day, the Friday, if you're going somewhere local, or spend a week, you know, use your vacation time. And same thing for Christmas. You know, a great day to travel is Christmas Day, or you just got to leave, you know, during the week before.
And what about those days, Johnny, when you could wait, and then if you checked every single day, then you might be able to find some crazy fluke where for 2 hours there was something on super, super sale?
Well, airlines usually don't put their seats on sale to about 4 weeks in advance. Because, you know, there's no need to. Then they look at their loads and like, okay, this flight, you know, we need to sell some tickets, so let's put it on, you know, put it on sale. So you're not going to get any discounts this far in advance. So you have to wait, but you are rolling the dice because you never know what it's going to look like. But one way to do it, instead of driving yourself crazy by checking every day, which I still do, by the way, but I also set fare alerts. And there is a website. There's a few websites that do it. Oh, actually, Kayak does a really good job at doing fare alerts, and Airfare Watchdog, and Yapta, where you can put in whatever route you want to do, which day you want to fly, and what the price you want to pay. So if it drops below it, you'll get an email immediately.
So if you don't want to remember all those names that you just mentioned, if people go to JohnnyJet.com, they can enter all those sites.
Newsletter. I have a weekly newsletter, but now I have a daily tip newsletter. And I'll put some of the stuff that I mentioned today on Twitter, so at Johnny Jet.
By the way, we'll be happy to take your travel questions if you've got one for Johnny Jet. 312-981-7200. What about this business of checking those sites, Johnny, on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday because the prices are always going to be lower than they are Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Is that true?
Some people believe that. I don't necessarily, because you know what? Sometimes I found great deals on Saturdays. They always say don't buy the tickets on the weekend, but it's not really true. Although, you know, I'm just looking at some of the deals right now. Virgin America has a deal that ends today. They're having sales right now. Chicago, you can go Chicago, LA, or San Francisco for $139 each way, which is a good deal, and you have to book by tonight, and you fly between October 1st and November 20th. So they're doing it right before Thanksgiving, and a lot of these other airlines will be following suit, too.
And that's Chicago to L.A. or San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Nice.
Yep. So you could fly, you know, Chicago, San Francisco, and then rent a car, drive down the coast, and then buy another one-way ticket from L.A. to Chicago. So
that sounds like a really nice getaway.
It's not, and it won't cost you that much. There's also, you know, you guys are lucky to be in Chicago because Apple Vacations, I think, is based there. Because every time I look at their fares, they're really cheap. So I'm just looking right now on their website. They have 7 nights in Jamaica, all including airfare and hotel for $7.99 per person.
Okay, I have to say that I have done one of those vacations, and the great thing about these Apple Vacations is that you're on a plane with everyone who is on the same vacation as you are.
Oh, you are. Okay, I've never done it.
It's a chartered flight or something, but it's not really chartered. It's their own. I think they have their own planes. So
I think they're using Frontier, which I believe they're using Frontier Airlines.
Maybe that's what it is. But everybody on the plane is on the same trip as you are. And the fun begins. I'm not kidding. The minute you walk on the plane, you're already on vacation.
What's nice about going on a trip like that is that it's all included. You know, the airfare, the food, the hotel. So you pretty much know what you're going to spend.
What are your tricks currently with the airlines? Because it's gotten so complicated now, the boarding process, seating, and they ask you if you want to pay extra for almost everything now. How do you navigate all that?
Well, the airlines have made either 29, I think it was 27 or 29, I think it was $27 billion last year worldwide in ancillary revenues. So, you know, they've gotten wise to start charging everyone from everything for the bags, the food, whatever. So there are some tricks around it. You know, the best way is to get elite status. So you're not going to get it unless you fly at least 25,000 miles a year. Or you can get a credit card of that airline. So if you fly one particular airline, a lot of these guys offer their own credit card deals where they'll give you free check bags. They'll also give you priority seating. And now Delta and United have also started offering like a package deal. They're bundling it, where if you pay, I think it's $199 a year, which Delta just came out with, they'll give you free check bags for up to 8 people under your reservation.
Oh,
that's really
sweet.
Good. And they'll also give you priority boarding, and which, again, you know, is everything if you want to have your bag on the plane.
And when you're talking about elite status and flying those 25,000 miles, give us an idea of how many trips is that a year?
Okay, so from Chicago to L.A., well, New York, L.A. would be 5 times, so I'd say it's 6 times Chicago, L.A., something around there, round trips, which is not a lot for a business traveler, you know. But they also, by the way, the airlines also do offer, which they do not advertise, a way to get that status. I'm spacing on the word, but they offer where you can sign up to a bonus. I think you pay a little bit of money. And it's called a challenge. So there it is. It's the they have like American Airlines Challenge where you can, you know, you fly 6,000 miles and they'll give you elite status if you do it within 90 days. And that's just one way to get earn more miles and stuff. But you know what? You really only want to do that if you're going to be flying a lot that year or the following year. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
He's got all the good tips, the good deals, and we've got some calls at 312-981-7200. Johnny Jet, proprietor of johnnyjet.com. Can you hang on a minute or two?
Yeah, of course. I'll be here for you all day.
We'll get to some of those right after this. We're talking travel with the proprietor of one of the most comprehensive websites on the internet, johnnyjet.com, and got a few people lined up with some travel questions. You ready, John?
Of course I'm ready. But by the way, I just found a couple more deals, so we can do that afterwards.
Okay, hold on to that. This is Diane for Johnny Jett. What's up, Diane?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have a twofold question. Five of us are looking to go to the Florida Keys the full week, starting like around the 14th of December before Christmas. When is there one day to fly that would be cheaper than another, and when should we be looking for the best airfares? And should we wrap in a rental car with that deal?
It's always good to get a package deal. So what was the date you were leaving again?
The 14th of December.
Because that's a good day to leave. The airfares go up, I think, usually around December 15th. So, but the problem is the return ticket is going to be expensive. Are you coming back after Christmas? Or are you going for a while?
No. No. We're going to come back before Christmas.
Okay. Well, it's still going to be expensive because after the 15th, the airfares go up. So the best thing is try it. Look at a package deal. And if there's going to be five of you, don't get a hotel. Hopefully you rent a house because you'll save a lot of money that way.
And
well,
Diane?
Go from island to island.
If you are considering stowaways, give me a call on that.
I'm with you, too.
Thanks, Diane.
So When should we be looking for airfare then? Now or
start looking
we wait
now? Set those fare alerts. Look at package deals. It's always a good time to start looking.
Here's Marcia on WGN now for Johnny Jett. What's up, Marcia? Where are you going?
Hi. Good afternoon. Actually, I'm planning a trip down to VVI, and I was wondering what Johnny's opinion is of the website Cheapo Air.
Wait a minute. Before we go to CheapoAir.com, where is it you're going?
Yeah. British Virgin Islands.
BVI.
Oh, I see. You're talking that hip travel talk. Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Cheapo Air is actually, they're fine. I've never used them, but they're legitimate. I've known people who used them and stuff. I try to stick to the airline websites. You know, I'll look at, like, Cheapo Air and Kayak and Travelocity and Expedia and get an idea of what the prices will be. And then I usually book on that airline, whatever airline showing up is the cheapest. Actually, on my website, we have a search engine where it shows, you know, all those different sites pretty much in one shot. And then I would recommend not booking it through them, just going right to that airline, since the customer service tends to be better and easier.
I understand, but the airfare shown on the airline website was higher by probably $175.
Okay, well then go with
the airline website.
That happens. Yeah. That does happen. So. Then in that case, okay, that's when you want to use that website. But Cheapo Air is legitimate. No, you really want to look and make sure that they're listed in, you know, in good standing at the BB, you know, the Better Business Bureau, B&B. So
right. One other quick question too. Do you ever find? I found in researching this trip that the price of each leg, Chicago to San Juan, then San Juan to the islands, each leg added together was cheaper than the round trip. Does that happen?
That's another trick. You know, so usually it's the opposite, but you never know. So it's always good to price it out all different ways. You know, do it in segments or do it as a package deal or do it as a round trip or a multi-city trip. You can do it. The Sunsites, you can do a multi-city trip. So, you know, one time I was flying L.A. to Memphis, and one way was $800. And so then I looked, put a ticket from Memphis to New York and then back to L.A., and it went down to $500. It makes no sense, but then again, the airline.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks, Marcia. Appreciate that.
I didn't know if I was doing something wrong. Thank you. Bye-bye.
By the way, that JohnnyJett.com website is great because whatever airline, whatever hotel, whatever you're looking for, I mean, you can connect up on that website, and you are also privy to some all kinds of deals, and you've got some good ones out of Chicago.
Yeah, I just looked. Well, this is not out of Chicago, but I just looked. Royal Caribbean has a four-night weekend cruise to the Western Caribbean. You actually just go to Cozumel and back to Florida, but it's only $234 a person. And remember, when you're cruising, that includes all your food and entertainment. You just got to stay away from the booze and the gambling.
So even getting there?
No, getting there is a separate ticket. You'd have to buy a ticket. But, you know, out of Chicago, there's so much competition that you can get great fares down to South Florida.
You know, I am always trying to find a good fare to Florida and to a couple of other places that where I fly regularly. And I always try to earn miles on United because I'd like to up my mileage on that.
Right. Well, but and there's United, a lot of United flights out of Chicago,
and there's
too.
So many. But then
the hub here.
Every single time, I always find a much better deal on American. And
well, United's usually more expensive. So I used to be a 1K on United, and then I, because they started going up in price, I stopped. You know, I've only flown them maybe 10,000 miles this year. When I've flown American and Delta, you know, over 50,000 each.
So how is it that American, because American seems to match even the lowest price, the lowest prices on even compared to like when Southwest goes down or even Spirit, then American matches it usually.
Well, it might be because American has a hub in Miami, so they're doing probably a lot more service down there. But you also want to not just look at Miami, you want to look at Fort Lauderdale because that's usually cheaper.
Yeah.
And also, you don't want to look on Fridays and coming back Sunday because that's when everyone wants to do it. They want to escape the cold in the wintertime, you know, leave after work and come back for work. So you got to try and be flexible with your dates. And speaking of American, they have deals this weekend. Actually, they're for next weekend, but you have to buy by Friday. Actually, you have to buy by today, I think. And you depart next Friday after 7 p.m. or Saturday and return the following Monday or Tuesday. And they have round-trip tickets, New York, Boston, 177. Actually, not New York, Chicago, Boston for 156. And in Chicago, New York for 177. These are round-trip tickets.
All right.
That's a great deal.
Let's get busy. And more available at johnnyjet.com. John, always good to check in with you. Happy travels. Safe travels to you, sir.
Thanks, Johnny.
Take care. Nice talking to you guys.
All right. It's time to get healthy, we hope. You hear a lot about holistic medicine, oriental medicine, homeopathic cures, acupuncture, and chiropractic practices. Well, we're joined by someone now who's involved in all of that, Dr. Peter Van Uhl. Good to have you here at WGN.
Thank you. Thanks,
Rob. And I guess the first question really is, what is holistic medicine exactly?
Well, the word holism is derived from the Greek word holos, which basically means everything. It's an all-encompassing. And so Aristotle is said to have coined the phrase that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So the whole is indeed more than just if you put a puzzle together of a horse, you don't necessarily have a horse. You just have a whole bunch of pieces that look like a horse. But the other part of holistic, especially when it applies to medicine, is that it's not really predictable in the sense that human beings and their behavior is not necessarily predictable. And that's kind of contrary to what in scientists with a reductionist view where you try to make sure that everything is always reproducible, but it doesn't always work that way. Just as in life, it doesn't always work that way.
So when you compare holistic medicine to the Western medicine that we are all used to, basically, are you saying that with Western medicine, you fix the problems in a different way than you fix them in holistic medicine?
Well, it's a different point of view where you start from. If a person comes in with you know, a pain in their finger, in Western medicine, the idea is to really look at the finger and then assess it and make a diagnosis. And based on that diagnosis, then you design a treatment. And in holistic medicine, you recognize that that finger is attached to a hand, which is attached to the arm. You know, the hip bones connected to the leg bones,
yes.
That whole thing. So everything's connected. And so that ultimately, you're looking at a whole system. You're looking at a person who is feeling, who is eating, who is breathing, who is thinking. And it's not just about the tip of that finger.
So you're looking more at the cause, but might the cure not be the same in holistic medicine and traditional Western medicine sometimes? The treatment?
Sometimes. I mean, although in Western medicine, more and more now, of course, since the 1950s or so, with the onset of antibiotics and steroids, all the treatments are really based on pharmaceutical drugs. Whereas before that, you know, aspirin was derived from white willow bark. Lots of herbs were used by, you know, regular doctors. And so we used what we had.
All right. So speaking about antibiotics, the tricky thing is here that I really brought you in here because I wanted to have
a free consultation,
a free consultation for Bob because, you know, he's having a little tooth issue. So he is having an extraction actually tomorrow. Bob, is this too much information?
Yes.
You're rolling your eyes.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, so he's on an antibiotic.
You could have stopped at a tooth issue.
Okay. He's having a tooth issue and he had an infection. So he needed to get on an antibiotic and I was like saying, wait, are you kidding? Like, are you sure you need to get on the antibiotic? And then you would suggest that he take something to balance his gut flora.
Right. All right.
Tell us what that means.
Stop right there. And by the way, I should say that when I picked this up, whatever this was, what was it that I got?
It's called Florastore.
Yeah. Well, at Walgreens, you know, the pharmacist said, oh, yeah, you know, that's what you should take that when you're taking the antibiotic. So what you're talking about isn't that radical. But let's talk about it because most of the world is on an antibiotic at one time or another.
Well, it's not that radical now, but 3 years ago, it was considered voodoo medicine.
Really? So,
you know, medicine is picking up on this more integrative approach and recognizing especially the gut flora. But I think in the old days, doctors used to say, if you've been on antibiotics, make sure you eat lots of yogurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that was when yogurt came from cows that were eating grass and those kinds, you know, those old-fashioned ways.
Everything's changed.
That's not true anymore?
No, that's not true anymore. But that's probably a whole other show.
What's gut flora? What is that?
So our intestinal tract and all our mucous membranes are lined with these healthy bacteria that form a major part of our immune system that help to break down hormones, cholesterol, that help to basically assimilate our foods, help to produce B vitamins. So we need these healthy, good bacteria, and they are first introduced into the intestinal tract through the mother and the breast milk, which is why nursing is so important. And so for these, you know, these bacteria thrive, and if you take an antibiotic, you kill off a certain number of these organisms, and they can therefore then start competing with yeast cells or funguses or other viruses and bacteria. And this is also why, again, in the holistic perspective, you look at what we call the terrain. You look at why does somebody get an infection? You know, the reductionist view is, well, you get an infection because the bacteria were present. Well, there's always bacteria present everywhere. So, you know, if there's 30 kids in a class and 3 kids get strep throat, they say, well, they got it because another kid had strep. Well, what about the other 29 kids? What about the nurse at the pediatrician's office? What about the pediatrician?
Why didn't they get it?
Yeah, why didn't they get it?
So what is the answer to that?
Well, the germ theory is you know, D.D. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, used to say if the germ theory were correct, there'd be nobody left to tell about it.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, you know, how did humanity survive among this cesspool of bacteria and viruses? You know, we have an immune system. We are symbiotic with these bacteria. And so, for example, everybody actually has streptococcal bacteria in their throat. Everybody has E. coli in their gut. They just don't belong in the bladder, for example, the E. coli when you have a bladder infection. Or you don't, you know, if you have an overgrowth, you need to look at why that is.
Okay, so in other words, when Bob accompanies me on occasion to church, and then there's a mass, and then people shake each other's hand during the peace, you know, the peace part, and then he brings out his Purell in the middle of mass,
right?
and he uses it like, you know, 2 seconds after he shook somebody's hand. Does he need to do that?
He's singularly responsible for creating monster bugs. Basically,
that's what I tell you.
Well, I just know I like the custom, the exchanging of the germs. But let's get back to gut flora and what people should do, in your opinion, in the holistic opinion, if they're taking an antibiotic.
Well, if they're taking an antibiotic, which I don't necessarily think they always should in the first place, but if they are taking an antibiotic, they definitely should be taking, and by the way, Florastore is a brand name, so Saccharomyces boulardii is actually the name of the organism that really helps to protect while you are on an antibiotic. And then after you've stopped the antibiotic, then you should go back on a regular probiotic that is usually refrigerated, that contains Acidophilus, Bifidus bacteria, all these common cultures.
What's the brand name again?
So the Saccharomyces boulardii is the organism that you take while you're on an antibiotic, and afterwards you help to replenish these good healthy bacteria, and those are more the Acidophilus and Bifidobacteria that are commonly known.
But you're asking what's the brand name, and it's Florastore is one of the brand names.
That's only one of them, right.
And what are others? Yeah. Because that's the only one that I have ever seen.
Yeah. Well, most reputable companies now make a Saccharomyces boulardii product.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll take some calls for Dr. Peter Van Huyl. I know people have a lot of issues. Marianne has one about sleeping and melatonin we'll get to. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation about holistic medicine, oriental medicine, homeopathic cures, acupuncture, chiropractic practices.
If you call in, you can get a free consultation, just like we're getting.
It's nice to know, Dr. Van Huel, that as is the case with Western medicine, you take a day off on Wednesday, only in your case you're not playing golf, you're here.
Right.
Okay, 312-981-7200. The doctor's office is open this afternoon. Dr. Peter Van Uhl's practice is in the north suburbs, and you actually combine Eastern and Western medicine to a degree, don't you?
Well, yes. I mean, that's why I call it integrative, because it's really taking all the principles of holistic methods and putting them all together and using them all. Because, you know, Eastern medicine, people are familiar with acupuncture usually, but Oriental medicine is much more than just acupuncture. It includes potentially manipulation and looking at people's diets and you know, getting an understanding of what's going on in their psyche. And so it's all encompassing.
We have a waiting room filled with people who have called WGN. Hey, Peggy, you're on. What's up?
Yes, hi. I remember years ago the doctors used to take cultures to confirm a bacteria. They're not doing that so much anymore. I mean, they just prescribe antibiotics, and sometimes it doesn't work. Why are they not doing cultures anymore?
Good question. It must be about costs, because you're right. I usually tell people it's better to get a culture done, because then they can see exactly which antibiotic is going to be effective, so you don't have to take three or four of them. Or if it even is going to be effective, and making sure that it is actually bacterial rather than viral or something like that.
Thank you.
Can you ask your doctor to take a culture?
Of course, sure. Yes, and I think actually people should, you know, be a bit more, you know,
proactive
in terms of if an antibiotic is prescribed, ask him, are you sure it's bacterial? How can you tell? And how do we know this bacteria is going to work? And, you know, yeah, definitely.
Appreciate the call and the question, Peggy. This is Deanna with Dr. Peter Van Uhl today. Deanna, what's up?
Hi, good afternoon. Hey, I was wondering, I've been recently diagnosed with acid reflux. However, I'm not taking the medicine because I don't feel that I need to take what was prescribed. However, I do have some slight issues with it. And I'm wondering, is there something I can change in my diet? I don't really eat spicy or garlic or onions. However, I'm wondering if I can change something in my diet or add something to help with that.
Well, okay, I guess I have to premise this answer with, in holistic medicine, there's an easy answer, which basically say, I have an alternative to Nexium and Prilosec and all these things, and that's kind of the short answer. The longer answer is, you really need to look at what's going on, because, you know, obviously emotional stresses can cause your stomach to be upset. The adrenal glands can be depleted, and you may therefore not be producing enough hydrochloric acid, and thereby be actually experiencing problems with the valve not shutting down and getting GERD. And so, the long answer is much more complex, and that's really what holistic medicine is about. It's about sitting down with the patient and really getting the whole story. Now, to just answer your question on a more easy way, there's a product called DGL, which is deglycerinated licorice. And it comes in chewable type of tablets that you can get at Whole Foods or other health food stores. And those will oftentimes be very helpful in reducing stomach acid.
All right, Deanna, you just leave your insurance information at the desk and we'll send you the bill.
And what's all this talk about your gut being your second brain?
Well, for example, people talk about like neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin in relationship, say, to depression and the feel-good hormones and all that. Well, all these neurotransmitters are produced in your intestinal tract. So the whole idea of having indeed gut feelings, it is kind of the second brain. So because a lot of the neurological communication happens in the intestinal tract. So it is very important, which is also why it's so important to look at what we put in there.
May Lou is on WGN with a question for Dr. Peter Van Uhl. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call, folks.
Doctor, I have had so-called only diagnosed on the computer burning tongue syndrome. I have been to two dentists, an ENT, my regular doctor, and another doctor. They've given me everything. They've given me thiamine. Now they're on B12 injections monthly, B12 pills. I'm on folic acid. They've given me, I could go on and on with what they've given to try to figure out why I have this. It's been 2 years now in October that it started. Started with a flu shot.
I think David Kaplan has that burning tongue syndrome. Did you ever hear him at night? The way he chatters on. Well, let's find out about this. I've never heard of this.
Well,
I know a lot of people haven't.
Yeah, I'm glad you added that very last part because that's key. See, this is where usually, you know, again, people will stare themselves blind on your tongue, and you said something very important. It started with a flu shot. Aha. Now, wait a minute. I'm assuming you didn't get your flu shot in your tongue, right? So, but there may be some substances in that flu shot that you have sensitivities to because there's all kinds of binders and fillers and chemicals in the flu shot that maybe you had an allergic reaction to. So I'm afraid this is one of these cases where, you know, you need to step back and take a whole systems picture. And I'm talking about taking all kinds of blood tests and MRIs and things like that. I'm talking about really getting your whole story and understanding what's going on, what was already going on before the symptoms appeared. Because I would say that your burning tongue is actually the tip of the iceberg, no pun intended there. But and it's just a symptom that appears, but it's probably got a deeper foundation underneath, and that's kind of what needs to be.
Yeah, well, and especially if you say that this has been going on for a long, long time.
Since the flu shot.
So, you know, it's certainly cause to look elsewhere and look everywhere for a possible remedy.
What do you mean about elsewhere? I have done elsewhere. I have so-called lichen planus, the dentist said. And
go
then
to a holistic medicine doctor.
Well,
that's elsewhere.
Yeah.
They've all come up with a different diagnosis. Some said hormonal, so they put me on hormones. Then they said no.
Try another. Yeah, just keep. You got to try the alternative, I guess, when it comes to that point, right? And I realize you can't. You know, Dr. Van Uhl can't like treat these people who call, and you need to be with them, see them, touch them. But in general, I think the advice would be to if somebody's got a problem and they've had the same problem for years and there's no solution, well, I guess you got to take a look at the type of doctors who have been, you know, treating you, and maybe take another look at some alternative, I guess, right?
Well, again, it's the patient will tell you where the problem is, and so if you're taking the time and, you know, when I have an input of a patient, it's an hour appointment of just the patient talking to me and me asking about everything, all the way from your childhood. And again, patients who've been on antibiotics, for example, or who've had chemical sensitivity and things like that, all of that can be important in leading up to the whole story. And again, then the whole story really is where you start working on rather than the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that's good general advice. All right, Marianne, before Dr. Van Uhl goes, you wanted to ask him about sleep.
Yes, I couldn't sleep. I have a harder and harder time sleeping. So for the last two nights, in addition to taking magnesium, I took melatonin. Melatonin, it was like a strong drug knocking me out.
Or was it something? Or was it something else?
I didn't even think it would have any effect, and I slept better in the last two nights than I have in a long time.
Well, probably your bedroom's not dark enough, or Bob's snoring too much.
Does the melatonin work?
Is that
melatonin? Well, our body produces melatonin. As soon as it gets dark, we start producing melatonin. So that's why, you know, good sleep hygiene involves not watching TV in bed, you know, having a dark bedroom, all these kinds of things, because the light interferes, and basically your hypothalamus says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was dark out and it was time to go sleep and I was producing melatonin. Let me shut that off for you so you can stay awake." So that's what happens. So indeed, the melatonin will help, but, you know, and there's no real side effects from low-dose melatonin, but you really want to try to kind of get the bedroom dark and kind of do a little bedtime ritual.
That's
okay.
The holistic point of view from Dr. Okay. Peter Van Uhl today on WGN. Interesting. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Attention, behind the wheel, yes, you're driving around Chicago. We're going to tell you how you did in the best driver's report. Ready for this?
I am ready because we have a lot of listeners who are driving right now.
Allstate agent Joe Schneider has the results of the America's Best Drivers report. So how do we stack up against cities across America?
Well, I've got good news and bad news for Chicago. The good news is we've improved over last year. Hmm. The bad news is out of the 200 cities ranked, we are at number 150.
Wow. Is that big cities all across the country?
No, it's all cities across the country, 200 major cities, as well as small cities.
Okay, so who's at the very top? Who's at the very bottom?
I don't know the very bottom, but I do know Fort Collins, Colorado. Congratulations. You are the winner of America's Best Drivers.
They're the best.
How is
Fort
that?
Collins, Colorado.
Yep.
How is that decided?
Actually, the Allstate actuaries have compiled data. So with the claim frequency over the last few years. So it's definitely some people with bigger brains than I have. They kind of compile all that data and come out with the number.
But is it based on accidents, on driving, on tickets,
citations? It's based on at-fault accidents. Accidents, basically.
Accidents.
Yeah. And can we see any sort of trend in rural areas versus urban areas?
Great question. The urban areas are definitely going to have a higher rate of accidents because you've got more people driving. Obviously, you have a ton more distractions with people on bikes, skateboards, walking, but you know, everything like that. In the areas that aren't as urban, the rural areas, you definitely have less accidents, but we do see that the ones that do happen are more are fatal. There's a more likelihood that it's a fatal accident.
Why is that?
A higher rate of speed in those areas.
Is speed still the number one killer in traffic accidents?
I don't know, but I would guess it's right up there.
And if we're to take away anything from this study in terms of ways we can be safer, what do we have?
You know, it's pretty common sense. Focus on driving. That's the number one thing. I mean, there's so many distractions nowadays between your GPS, your cell phones, the texting. I know last time I was on, we were talking about the texting and driving, and that's obviously something that's really important, is to put down the phone.
And I had a great tip here the other day. Don't drive with your directional signal on because it aggravates the driver behind you. And then, and as you know, an aggravated driver is not a safe driver. So
no.
Look, check right now. Your directional signal, is it on? If it's on, you better be turning. If not, turn it off. There you go.
I think what you're saying, Joe, though, is so important. The fact that people are so busy with their phones and texting, and it doesn't surprise me that Colorado is number one, because we were recently in Colorado and we were driving around, and because of the mountains, you don't get a lot of phone reception, so you can't be distracted, at all times. Do you think that could possibly be related?
I have no idea, but that makes sense, because I've definitely been out there too, and there's areas where you have no reception.
You have no reception for many, many miles. Yeah. So I wonder if.
Although you said the best drivers in this survey, Fort Collins, Colorado, yep. And you'd think out there. They're going faster. And also, some of the highways out there have speed limits higher than 55.
But they're not distracted by their phones.
Well, I guess if you're going through a mountain pass, well, maybe you could make the argument that they're more distracted maybe because they're trying to get cell service. And so they're looking more.
No, I think once you
more.
Know, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe.
You just put
it's
the
a
phone
searching.
Away.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, and this is such a big problem now. Even hands-free, people are distracted. I think all the studies indicate that. And as far as a company like Allstate is concerned, this has to be a major concern.
Yeah, Allstate's got a really neat campaign called X the Text. And it's basically we're asking people to take the pledge that you won't get behind the wheel and text and drive, as well as the hands-free in Illinois now. I think, aren't they coming up with a law, or has it just passed that I don't think you're even allowed to kind of look at your phone?
Yeah, I think is it January that the entire state, right now you have different towns, different suburbs, different laws, but we're all going to be under that hands-free only law, which is a good thing.
So these studies are done, and we know now where we fall, and we have something to be ashamed of here in Chicago. But what do we take from all of this?
You know, there's a lot of things that drivers can do, especially in the city of Chicago, A, you know there's going to be traffic. So plan for traffic accordingly. That way you're not going to be that aggressive driver who's trying to get from point A to point B as quickly as you can. You bring up turn signals. Use turn signals. People are looking for turn signals. That's a great way to avoid accidents is signaling where you're going. I know that's sounds crazy, but it's...
And then turn it off, but yes, do signal.
Exactly.
Well, I think it gives people too much of a heads up about what you're going to do.
Yeah, got to cut right in there.
there is that school of thought, but I don't buy
That's a terrible school of thought. Forget I said that.
How often do we survey the drivers with this Best Drivers Report?
They've been doing this for 9 years now. Allstate, this is in its ninth year.
And then Chicago, have we been? What's the trend? I know we're better than we were last year. Are we getting better slowly but surely?
I don't know the 2011 results, but I do know Rockford came in at, 28th. Joliet was 47. Aurora was 96. Naperville was 106. So we're not all bad, you know.
Illinois.
And we've got stuff to build on.
Who was 26 or 27?
28th, Rockford.
Rockford. Let's go hang out in Rockford and just drive around there. We'll be safe. Safer.
Okay. Cheap Tricks down there. We'll hang out with them. All right. Our thanks to Joe Schneider from Allstate for giving us the lowdown on America's Best Drivers Report. Be careful out there.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, right, Joe.
Time for the Apple Report, isn't it? They are coming out with something new again.
Well, the iOS 7 was being released today, and all morning long, I know that people were trying to figure out, is it now? And I think it has been now.
And some people are even trying to figure out what iOS 7 is. That's why we have Apple expert Josh Davis with us. He's the technologist, manager of the Apple boutique at Apt Electronics, the country's largest independent retailer, and leading nationwide presence through their e-commerce site, app.com. Josh, what's the Apple headline of the day? Let's hit the button for Josh. That's very appropriate that we're talking about new technology and we can't get his phone on the air. There he is. What did Apple do exactly today?
All right, so a new operating system for iPhones and for iPads and iPods. That's called the iOS 7. And that is out. You could upgrade your existing equipment so you could have this new operating system.
All right. So first of all, tell us what this new operating system does and also how do you get it?
All right. Well, an operating system is everything you do on your phone. It's all of the apps that came with it when you first bought it. It's just how everything works and moves. So the biggest deal with iOS 7 is they redesign kind of the entire graphic nature of how it operates. When you open up an app, the way it flies at you, and when you go to the next app and close out of it, it flies away. All sorts of graphical changes have occurred. So when you're just using your phone, it looks better. It feels cooler as far as how it works. And you kind of just enjoy your phone a little more. That's kind of the general, assessment of it. But there's a lot more to it as far as new specs and new features.
So Apple has released this this operating system in advance of the new iPhone 5C and iPhone 5S that are coming out in a couple of days. Is that right?
Right. So, yeah, they want people to upgrade their existing equipment to kind of have the same bells and whistles as far as the operating system goes compared to what's about to hit the stores. And those will ship with iOS 7 installed.
And is that why every time I turn my phone on today, it wants me to update my apps? And I have like 12 apps I need to update, and then as soon as I'm done with those, then there's five more?
It's possible, because what happens when new operating systems come out, companies that have created apps, they have to tweak their app so that it's fully compatible with the new operating system. So if you haven't upgraded, or you have upgraded, either or, you're going to have to run some free updates on your existing apps that you use daily or just that are on your phone or iPad or iPod.
So, Josh, what about me? Now, I've got this. What is this, Marianne? An iPhone 5?
Yes. Okay. You are part of this, Bob.
I don't have a lot of apps. I don't use a lot of apps. Can I just do nothing? Will I be okay?
But then, first of all, Josh, that's not true, Josh. He has a lot of apps. He doesn't know where they are, but he has them on his phone.
Help me, Josh.
Well, I mean, the answer to the question is yes. You don't have to upgrade, but if you have an iPhone 5, you got to do it. It's made for iPhone 5 and, of course, the new series. It can handle the graphics perfectly. It's wonderful. Do it. It's worth it. Just make sure you've backed up before you do it. And if you have an iPhone 4, you've had it for a while now, first of all, you should probably get ready to upgrade to the new phone. But if you're going to keep it, I would watch out. iPhone 4s are going to run that iOS 7 kind of sluggish, not so great. You might want to hold off on the upgrade.
So for the upgrade, what exactly do I do? Is it only when I go to those apps it's going to ask me to upgrade?
No, for this kind of upgrade, if you currently have iOS 6, all you would do is you go to your settings app, tap on General, and you'll see Software Update. When you tap it, it'll say you have one available software update, and then it's all done through there.
So you don't have to plug it?
You probably want to have it charged while you're doing it, just in case something goes bad or you're low on battery.
All right, I don't see anything on my phone now. Am I supposed to be seeing something on my phone when I see all the icons?
So, did you go to Settings and then go to General?
No, I didn't go to Settings. That's what I need to do, huh?
Yep, you tap Settings, you tap General, and then you should see the upgrade available if it's hitting your phone yet.
Okay, now under General, I have, it says Software Update. That's the one, huh?
Yeah, when you tap that, does it say you have the available download for you?
It says Checking for Update. And, there's smoke coming out of my iPhone, Josh. What's happening now? Oh, my goodness, it's overheated. It's checking for the update.
Mine keeps telling me that I don't have enough storage available.
Oh, here, it says iOS 7.0, this update features, and then it goes through the new design and so forth and so on, and says learn more, download and install. So I should just download and install, right?
As long as you've backed up your phone, in case something goes bad, you're safe.
Got it. Okay.
And if you have the iCloud feature, you don't really have to back up your phone, is that right?
Well, it depends. iCloud backs up the bulk of your stuff, but not everything's backed up in iCloud. You should have a backup in iCloud, so you shouldn't have to back up your phone now because you've had the iCloud backups active, and then that means that you're safe already.
Okay.
And what's going on with other phones? What's the number one competitor to the Apple phone, to the iPhone 5, say, right now, Josh?
As far as actual handset or, like, operating system?
Just
both. Phone itself,
both.
Though.
I'd probably guess the Samsung S4 is probably up there on the food chain as far as up against the iPhone. The HTC One is really popular as well. That's a Windows phone, though.
And then the operating system?
The HTC One's a Windows phone, and the Samsung S4 is running the Android operating system.
You know what I think about a lot? I think about folks coming to see you who have no idea about any of this stuff, or they're just getting into it for the first time, or maybe grandma's coming in, wandering into the store. How in the world do you explain any of this to them, Josh? Because it's hard enough for me to keep up.
Well, if they're looking for a new phone, you kind of want to get the phone in their hands, have them look at it, you know, point out some of the basic stuff that they're going to use on a daily basis, and then they'll start nodding their head, yeah, okay, I get this. But if you ramble on about operating systems and all sorts of specs and gigabytes, you could lose someone pretty fast.
I guess so. It's Apple expert Josh Davis, the technologist. He manages the Apple boutique over there at Apt Electronics in Glenview. So what's the product? What's the hot product? What's everybody asking you about today?
Oh, today is iPhone. When is it out? Can I pre-order it? Help me, I want it.
And what's the answer to that? Can they pre-order it, and when do you get it into the store physically, and when can you start handing them out?
Well, we'll begin sale Friday morning, just like all the Apple stores. And most of our product that comes in, I'm sure, will be going to people that have pre-ordered it at Apt. And again, we're an AT&T exclusive location, so if you're a Verizon or Sprint customer that wants an iPhone, we're not your guy. Otherwise, AT&T will handle, and we're doing all pre-orders. Right now, you can do a pre-order on a 5S or a 5C, but just watch out. We don't know our availability. It might be tricky getting it. We can't commit to any time frames, but we can get your pre-order in.
And when people are requesting the 5C, can they request certain colors? What are the colors that are going to be available?
Yeah, we can take the order on any of the colors out there. So you can just let us know which color you want, and we're good.
All right, Josh Davis, apt. Always interesting and enlightening. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Josh. Knowledge.
Love and marriage.
I love you, honey bunny.
Love and marriage.
Get out! Oh.
Have you the wit?
What do you want in a partner? That's what we're going to talk about today in our little relationship corner here. Because there is a new survey, I guess, out on this. And if you've got some thoughts on what you want in a partner, you can chime in a bit. 312-981-7200. What's this all about, Marianne?
Well, there's a new German study that surveyed 2,000 men over 3 years and found that 76% of them would not accept a partner who didn't have a job, and 45% said that they want a woman who earns lots of money herself.
Yeah, so we've come around. We've come around.
Men are looking for what women are looking for,
I guess.
We're
no longer threatened. We want the help.
Yes. So this was in HuffPost Live, and it is very clear that men want a true partner who can help guide the couple's future. And the woman's role, according to the survey, doesn't have to be any specific thing, meaning that whatever women decide to pursue in their lives can be considered a meaningful contribution by the partner. Sometimes in the past, I think some women have their contribution has been to help out in whatever the business is that her partner is in. I mean, that happens a lot. Plus, you know, who's minding the store at home?
But the headline on this report is the trophy wife may be a thing of the past.
What they want is a person who actually brings home the bacon as well, or has a goal or something. We are attracted to people who have strengths and are passionate about that strength. Okay?
Who
people
says
who
that?
Have this is what the men in the survey are saying. Unique strengths and gifts to bring to a relationship. And that can be humor. Hey, that's what it is in our in our relationship.
That's all I got
right?
going. Especially when I'm trying to be serious.
Or that can be a job outside the home for pay. It can be a job inside the home with children. So that is what people, that is what these men want. They want the burden taken off them.
They want more than a woman whose talents include looking beautiful. That's the bottom line in this, right?
Yes, because I think that everybody just wants less stress. And what better way to have a good relationship than to have less stress? You're stressing me out because as I'm talking, you're looking at your iPhone. Are you reading emails?
No. No.
Okay.
I'm not.
What are you doing?
I'm just looking around.
You're looking around?
Yeah. I'm
at the
around.
People outside? You want to ask some of these people outside if
what they want
in a partner? I'd like to know what people want in a partner.
Well, people want a lot of things in a partner. It's no simple one answer to that.
Well, according to this survey, men want women who have something financial to offer the relationship or have a role. And like you said,
and is that because the economic times are tough now? Is that why this trend, we're seeing this trend,
well,
or according to this report, this is what more people want now? This is what more men want today?
I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I would have to assume that plays a big role.
Number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for men used to be looks, and now the top of the list, earning power and other things.
Yeah, but don't you think that, I mean, seriously, the first thing that attracts you is how a person looks or is or sounds, or if you were working with somebody. I mean, there's got to be something that attracts you first. And I think that they are probably talking here about once the relationship starts.
What I'm looking at here is a note that I wrote to myself because it's appropriate to bring up at this point.
Uh-oh.
Remember the other day we were driving someplace, and I guess we were on the expressway, and it was kind of noisy. And you said, roll up roll up your window. It's noisy out.
Oh, that was this morning.
Again, but it but the other day I really took note of this when I said, you know, we're going to get, we were driving by a truck, a noisy truck, and I said, we're going to get past this truck next to us in just a second. So wait, leave it open. It's nice out. And then you said, you're so rude. If we were dating and you said that, I'd break up with you. So, and I thought about that, and I thought, well, yeah, you know what? If we were on a date and we were driving somewhere and it was, and I had the windows rolled down, I was enjoying the day, and you said, hey, it's so noisy, it's bothering me. Could you roll up your window? If we were on a date, I would say, oh, sure. I didn't know that was annoying to you. Of course. But yeah. Now that we're married, I'm not going to say that.
Why?
Because
why?
I'm done pretending I'm a nice guy. I tricked you into marrying me.
So you tricked me. First of all, you are a nice guy.
Thank you.
And for the most part. But you will do things like that when you don't think about it.
Well,
and why can't relationships, after you're married, why can't they stay the same? That
well,
is my question.
It's impossible.
No,
it's impossible. Oh, you really, really have to work at it.
People outside are like agreeing. They're like giving me thumbs up and nodding because it's true. Relationships should be good even after you get married. You should still treat me the way you treated me when we were dating.
You folks on Michigan Avenue looking into the Allstate Showcase studio, I'm sorry you have to see this. Well, no, I did think about that after you said it because, you know, I hate to admit it, but you're right. If we were on a date, I would have been much more courteous. But after you've been married, you're together for a long time, really? Is it possible to treat your partner the way you treated them when you were dating?
Of course it is.
That's really hard, though.
I try to treat you that way.
Yeah,
Do I fail?
Why is that? Well, yeah, I think so. You may be nicer than me, but yeah, I think that, you know what, from now on, I'm gonna do what you do. I'm gonna say, hey, if we were dating, would you say that to me? I'm gonna use that line on you.
Oh, I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know how I'm gonna like that.
Uh-huh.
I might not like that very much.
I gotcha.
You did. I mean, I do it too. I agree.
Yeah,
I think that we all should strive to keep our relationships alive and thriving. I mean, if a relationship isn't getting better, I think it's getting worse. I mean, it's never just the same.
Well,
something's either happening good or bad.
And that's the whole idea behind the book you're working on and the website you have, which sounds bad because it's called How to Train a Man. But actually what that is about is trying to keep that same feeling that you had when you were dating once you're married.
And it's easy to do because once you are married, it seems for so many people, you forget all the things that you did for the other person to attract them. And you forget that it can be as good. And I'll say, I mean, this is not man bashing at all, because I think a lot of women do this. You forget that to care about the other person's daily issues or the things that annoy them. You know, you're just not interested. So you lose interest. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So stop losing interest. Like, remember what you were interested in when you first started dating.
Okay, so I'm going to start right now. I'm going to pretend that we're just dating.
Okay.
So you come here to this radio studio often?
You've never said anything like that to me.
What are you doing later? You doing anything later? It's working. Once again, I have a very, very uplifting obituary.
Let's hear it, Bob. I'm starting to look forward to the obit section of our show.
See, I told you you would, especially when somebody makes it to 100. It's a celebration of one's life. And I'm not sure how Mr. Toyoda, spelled T-O-Y-O-D-A, by the way, pronounced his first name. It's E-I-J-I. But back in 1950, Mr. Toyota visited a Ford plant to learn how Americans made cars, and the visit by a member of Japan's foremost manufacturing family changed the way the Toyota Motor Corporation produced cars, altering the global auto industry. He is credited with developing the car company's efficient, low-defect manufacturing process. He helped spearhead Toyota's aggressive push into the U.S. auto market. He died Tuesday at the age of 100. He was a cousin of the Japanese automaker's founder, Kichiro Toyota. He was the founder, and this guy who just died was the cousin.
Why did they change the spelling of the name?
The family used the Toyota name for the business because they believed it sounded better and was the winning entry in a 1936 logo competition. So they went with T-O-Y-O-T-A instead of Toyota, T-O-Y-O-D-A.
They had a contest to see how to spell it?
The logo. At any rate, the reports of his death say that this is the Japanese equivalent of Henry Ford passing away. He rose in the executive ranks, becoming a Toyota director in 1945. It wasn't much of a promotion because most of the company's operations were put on hold by World War II. They picked up in 1950, and listen up, this was the year, 1950, that Mr. Toyota toured the Ford factory in Dearborn, Michigan, an experience that was the root of the ideas he employed to retool Toyota's manufacturing. Apparently, they were producing 40 cars a day in 1999. Ford was making, in an interview in 1999, he told Time magazine, "We were producing 40 cars a day. Ford was making 8,000 units. The gap was enormous." So they changed the whole manufacturing approach, ran the company more efficiently, focused on making cars in small batches, receiving just enough parts at the plant to complete a production run efficiently. And it changed the whole concept, and it was just gangbusters from there on. And Mr. Toyota directed the development of the Corolla, which became one of the world's best-selling cars.
I had one of those.
You did?
I had a Corolla.
Really?
I think that was my first car. Yes.
Yeah. It became one of the world's best-selling cars.
It was a very, very good car. And a very, very ugly color that was somewhere between green and brown. And I just remember I bought it used.
E-I-J-I. Don't know how he said his first name.
E-I-J-I.
T-O-Y-O-D-A was Mr. Toyota. And he bucked the skeptics who believed that a Japanese automaker couldn't create a luxury brand by pushing Toyota into the bigger, more expensive vehicles that became the Lexus line. In 1989, he wanted to sell a car that would rival the luxury sedans produced by Mercedes and BMW. So there you go. Today's interesting obit of the day. See?
Love it. Loving this.
See? I told you would.
And, you know, the pressure will never be on because there will always be people dying. So we'll always have a great obit.
The pressure will never be on to find material?
To find a good obit. I love it.
Yeah. See, people snickered at me just the way they snickered at Mr. Toyota when he came up with the idea for a luxury line. And as with Mr. Toyota, I persevered and have now convinced everyone that reading an obituary is good radio sometimes. So you want to talk about the dangerous cyber celebs a little bit?
Yes.
Lily Collins, the star of The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, she's the daughter of Phil Collins, has another credit to add to her list. Most dangerous cyber celebrity. I really have never heard of Lily Collins, but apparently she's replaced Emma Watson at the top of McAfee's annual ranking of actors, musicians, comedians, and other celebrities whose popularity is used to dupe fans into downloading viruses and other malicious software.
So she's not at fault for this. It's
no,
just that people are using her name.
Fans searching for Lily Collins and downloads or free app downloads or nude pictures run the highest risk of landing on a website designed to steal passwords or other personal information. Avril Lavigne. Is that how she says it? She has a new album due out in the fall. She was the second most popular figure used by hackers to lead fans to bad links.
I wonder how that happens. Like, why those people?
They say musicians, especially young female pop stars, are the popular lures for online threats. Eight of the top 20 cyber celebrities, that's what they call them, eight of the top 20 cyber celebrities cited are musicians, including Katy Perry, Britney Spears, Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato. Is that her
Demi
name?
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato. Mad Men star John Hamm was the only male to make the top 10.
Well, it's probably musicians because people are expecting to download some free music or paid music, whatever it is. I mean, there's usually or oftentimes you would just know that there's going to be a download situation involved with a musician more than just a plain celebrity.
Sandra Bullock is also on the list. They say cyber criminals prey on consumers' addiction to breaking news and leverage this behavior to lead them to unsafe sites that can severely infect their computers and devices and steal personal information. McAfee's director of web security is the one who came out with this.
That's horrible when your computer is infected by a virus. I had a virus on my Apple computer, and I didn't even know that was possible. And it had somehow infected my photos.
Well, if you heard our holistic doctor, Peter Van Uhl, earlier today, then you'll know that you should spray your computer with Fluoristor.
I don't think that's what he said.
In addition to antibiotics, of course. Yes, it's once again time for Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation. This music still makes me think of I Love Lucy, but...
Stop saying that!
You say it's the Celebrity Report to the Nation music, so that's what we're going with.
And if we ever get a simulcast in Havana, Cuba, it'll play really well.
Are we working on that?
Yes.
Well, you're born there, so you should be able to swing that.
We're trying to get a lot of things going over here.
All right, what do we got today?
Cher and Miley Cyrus are in the news because Cher told a reporter from E! Online that she doesn't give a blank starting with the word S, mm-hmm. ending with the word T, if she comes out naked. What she is telling Miley Cyrus, just be better, do better. That is her advice for Miley Cyrus.
So Cher doesn't care about Miley being naked.
She doesn't care about her naked belly, her backside on national TV. And it doesn't mean that she's a fan of hers, but she just says, you know, do better, be better.
Okay. So does she like Miley Cyrus or not?
It's unclear if she likes her or not.
Okay, she just doesn't care about her being naked.
She doesn't care about her being naked.
But
because she has been, you know, Cher has shown her own belly so many times. So she does not care about that. You know, everybody's making a huge deal about this, and Cher doesn't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't think she would. Okay.
Okay. Do we care what Cher thinks? Let's get the. No. You know. By the way, do you follow Cher on Twitter?
No.
Okay. She is posting all the time something. I mean, it's very funny.
Okay. How do we know it's really Cher?
I don't know. It's one of those like it says officially, it's Cher.
Okay.
Like, Twitter says that she's Cher. All right. So the Game of Thrones. You know that that series that mm-hmm. you don't watch. That mm-hmm. I keep saying. Let's watch that.
I can't invest in another series. I have no time.
So they may be getting a Walter White-like character. And Walter White, as we know, is the main character in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this because of a tweet that was posted about a blog from the creator of Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin, who said, Walter White is a bigger monster than anyone in Westerns. I need to do something about that. So people are speculating that Game of Thrones may have a chance at beating Breaking Bad, but also at having a new kind of character that's horrible, like Walter White.
They're not going to beat Breaking Bad at anything.
I know. That's what I think. And
wait a minute. But no, beating Breaking Bad for an Emmy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know how those things work.
And by the way, speaking of Breaking Bad, you know how they did a they split up their last season, and right now the season that's ending is season 5, just like the season 5 last, there was a season 5 last year in the fall. So this season 5 is the second half of that. Mad Men is going to be doing the same thing.
They're splitting
the
last season into two.
Builds momentum and all of that. That's new.
Yeah, it worked for Breaking Bad.
Did you hear about the crash that Carlos Santana had on Friday?
Mm-mm.
Well, they were calling it was in Las Vegas, and they were calling it a fender bender, and apparently it wasn't a fender bender at all. Okay, he drives a Fisker Karma. Do you even know what that is?
No.
I looked it up online. It's this amazing car. It looks like a Maserati or something. I don't know. And apparently Carlos Santana fell asleep on the wheel and hit two parked cars. So it was not just a little fender bender. You don't want to fall asleep on the wheel when you're driving a car like that, or ever.
You fall asleep on the wheel or at the wheel?
At the wheel.
At the wheel. That's the worst thing when you're fighting sleep and you're driving. That is the worst thing. And we've all done that. And you try everything. You crank the radio up loud. You stick your head out the window. Nothing works. Unless you're, I guess, drinking coffee or eating something.
I know. It's terrible. And it's very scary because many times you get home and you say, I was at a stoplight and I fell asleep. And I always wonder what...
Well, or for a second. Or worse yet, has this ever happened to you where you just think, wait a minute, I don't remember driving that last block. You know, that's crazy scary.
Yeah, that's terrible. And Zac Efron has been in the news a lot for going to rehab. And it turns out that it was not for alcohol abuse. It was for... basically being a cokehead.
Oh, yeah?
So that's what the real
that
story
was.
That
the doctor
was.
Said? He wrote on his...
cokehead.
on his prescription?
Yeah. Ben Affleck says that he was warned about what might happen before he agreed to play Batman on the big screen. And then on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on Monday, he said that the studio executives had advised him not to go online for a few days, but he did it anyway. And remember all that negativity?
Mm-hmm.
So he says in spite of all of that, he's excited to see how his children react to the film.
He couldn't help himself. He had to go online and see the nasty comments.
Yes. That's the worst thing to do, isn't it? And you're going to love this little item, Bob, because you're such a Breaking Bad head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Have an A1 day, by the way, I forget to tell you.
Yeah. Anna Gunn. Who plays Skyler on the series. She grew up in Albuquerque, but she actually went to school at Northwestern. So she's sort of a local girl.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting since they shoot the show in Albuquerque, and that's where she's from. But she moved to Chicago here and worked here in various jobs and went to Northwestern. I think graduated from Northwestern,
yeah.
Didn't she?
And then after 5 seasons as Skyler on Breaking Bad... she wants to do something different. She wants to lighten things up. She wants to do a comedy.
I don't blame her.
I don't either. So she says it's been quite a lot of heavy, intense drama for a long time.
You know what's funny? That was the article of who wrote that in the Sun-Times?
That's by Lori Rackle in the Sun-Times.
It was an interview. And in the interview, Anna Gunn talks about having different jobs in Chicago. I think, was it in the 90s? And she worked like as a waitress. And she said she was so bad, she was trying to open a bottle of wine once and broke the neck off the bottle.
Right, yeah. That's.
But I don't you, when you read about those things,
that.
Don't you always think, you know, wow, Skyler could have been my waitress.
I know.
Not too long ago, right?
Yeah, at a restaurant in Evanston called J.B. Wineberries. Winberries? Wineberries. Before it dropped the J.B. Wineberries.
That's where she was working?
Yes.
Let me see that. Okay. Is that your celebrity report to the
That's
nation?
That's it.
Okay. Anna Gunn, yes. By the way, Breaking Bad ends its run on September 29th. And Anna Gunn graduated from Northwestern in 1990. And she had those odd jobs in Chicago, though, in the 90s. There you go.
I'd like to see her. One of the things she says is that she'd like to be, if she could choose any show to be on, it would be
Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty.
Yeah. She'd be good.
Loves
that. Edie Falco. By the way, Anna Gunn, Skylar on Breaking Bad, she lived in Wrigleyville one summer, and I guess she cleaned houses and apartments. And she said her roommates and her escaped the heat by putting up a little sign by the lake saying we wanted to volunteer to crew on a boat, even though none of them knew anything about sailing. But apparently it worked. She said, we did it every weekend.
Well, I'm sure they were all babes.
Yeah, probably. That's why they got
and they
the
were
invite.
Always invited. Yeah. But it just goes to show you, if you want to be an actor or an actress, you really have to want to do this.
Yep.
And you will do whatever you need to do to, you know, get the role.
That eliminates the riffraff. That way you only end up with the people who are super passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Surratt and Murciano at WGNRadio.com, our email, Facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano, and you can text us at 24/7/20. By the way, on our Facebook page, we have put up that Chipotle video we were talking about earlier, which is really an amazing piece of work about, it seems to be about what we do to our foods.
Anti-industrialized farming, pro-wholesale foods and wholesome foods. Is what I meant.
Not wholesale.
Not wholesale. Wholesome.
No.
Wholesome foods.
And also, we've got that crazy Dennis Rodman commercial posted, don't we? The one where he's got the green hair and he's promoting pistachio nuts. It's for pistachio nuts, right? But they've got an actor impersonating Kim Jong-un. And that's up, too. Take a look at that at Facebook.com/Serrata Murciano. What else we got in the feedback department in the mailbox?
Well, we got some texts asking the question, who would be upset by the Scarecrow commercial? I'm perplexed.
No, that's the Chipotle thing. It's called the Scarecrow,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So the person who texted us says, who would be upset by the Scarecrow commercial? I'm perplexed that would upset anyone. And, it probably would upset people in the farming industry. That's who it would upset.
Yeah, because it's got pictures of, like, you know, they're giving
cows.
giving a shot to a chicken or something to plump it up.
Exactly.
And they've got a cow, like, in a little box.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very quick, but.
Yeah, it's interesting. Take a look at it.
It is interesting. And then we also have a Facebook message from Mylan in Aurora. Every year I grow my own veggies in the suburbs. They taste great and are all organic. Wish I could raise livestock, but I can't. I'm a suburbanite. And somebody else responding to that, I couldn't believe the Chipotle ad was an ad for a video game app. Chipotle has a second ad with the same message. And that, in fact, is the whole reason for, even though they're sending that message, it's for an app.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they spent a fortune on it because it's a computer-generated bit of animation, and it's all to sell an app for Chipotle.
Yeah, but I think it's also to sell an image of
well, that's
Chipotle.
Why Chipotle's behind the app, because
right.
they're trying to promote their more wholesome fast food.
Right. And we also heard from people talking about love and marriage. Married 18 years, and it's getting better every day. He is my best friend and my partner in crime and the love of my life. I hope they are not serious when they say partner in crime.
Are they pretending they're still dating? Because that's what we said you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you're together, and
that's right.
and the harder it is to do, the longer you are together. By the way,
and the German study that said that men are looking for partners who have something to offer to the relationship in terms of financial, business wise. Face it, we no longer live in a time where one income cuts it. Those scenarios are fewer nowadays. I can't wait till my wife goes back to work. Once our kid is six, a lot of people do that when the kids start school. That's when mom goes back to work.
I want to thank Ruth in Arlington Heights who emailed us, and talk about viral videos. This picture is still making its way around the internet, and Ruth emails us just wondering if this is Bob. Sure looks like him, and she has a copy of that picture of me. that was taken as part of a promotional campaign for a Channel 2 special I did in the early 80s called Present Shock, where I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas and talked about all the new products of that time, camcorders and various CD, Walkman, things like that. And so in the picture, I'm holding all of this stuff from 1983. You know, I've got a camera in one hand, a boombox in the other
hand.
Good
thing you were young and strong, because you needed strength to carry all those things.
And somebody found that picture and put a caption on it 20 years later, and all of these things fit in your pocket, which is true. And it's gone viral. It's everywhere. And who was it who posted it?
It went viral when George Takei.
Yeah. Right.
He saw it somewhere. He posted it, and he's got 1 billion followers. Yeah. And it's very funny because he posted something today. I forget what it was. And he said, my thoughts on whatever the subject was, and I'm not, and I've removed the post because I'm sick of talking about it. And it just goes to show you, it had, like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of likes on this one thing. I don't know how he became so huge on Facebook, but he is.
Yeah, I think Howard Stern might have something to do with it. All right, so in part thanks to him, I've become the poster boy for old, out-of-date audio-video gizmos.
Very sad, Bob.
But that is me in that picture. And do we have that on our Facebook page, by the way?
We do, but it was early on when we started this show.
Oh, way back in the 1950s?
Yeah, about 4 weeks ago.
So can you still find it?
Yeah, we'll repost it so that people can see what you're talking about. And so it'll be up on the top part of our feed. How about that?